Regina requested that one, a little CCR, Fortunate Son, July 4th, Friday, all request track. That's a good one. That one's on my playlist, if we're being honest. And I got a text. We were chatting about, we're talking about summer blockbusters today. So we're getting you to send us your favorite blockbuster movies for the summer, 877-332-8255. I'm thinking of going to that F1 this weekend with the lovely wife. And somehow we ended up talking about drive-ins. And there's three active drive-ins, according to more than a couple of people, including Chad, one in Watrous, Carlisle, and Wolseley. Not too far away. That's a fun Saturday night. Maybe check out what's playing and throw a bunch of blankets in the back of the station wagon. And we're heading to Wolseley, honey. All right. Let's drop the gloves, Drew.
Now, here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
We're guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I guess it kind of ages me when I can tell stories about going to the drive-in movies, mm-hmm. Drew. Yeah.
For sure. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
The drive-in movies were great. Are you kidding me?
I loved it.
Yeah, so did I.
I wonder
if... my best times are at drive-in movies.
Yes. I wonder if... I wonder if that's...
That. Thanks for picking that up. I appreciate that.
I did catch that because... Yeah. Anyway, I wonder if that's...
After my Sears catalog, comment last night, why didn't you shut the hell up from that one?
I wonder if that's something that comes back, right? I can see it coming back.
I could and I couldn't. It was sort of just for the sake of land. It's so damn expensive now, but...
Oh, that's a good point.
I remember when our parents would take us to the drive-ins. And, you know, then when we got older, we tried to sneak into drive-ins, like put one guy in the trunk all the time. It was just a lot of fun when you went to the drive-in. It was just something different. It was just.
I do remember the trunk. The trunk trips. I do remember the trunk trips. Yeah, that's growing up. Let's jump into hockey here. Jonathan Toews was introduced, Drew, to the fans today in Winnipeg. Everyone looking very, very excited. I was actually pleasantly surprised because he's not great in front of the mics, right? But he did a pretty decent job, I thought. What do you think his impact is going to be in Winnipeg?
I think it'll be very important, and I think it will be maximized because of just the person he is. And you look where he's no longer the first line guy or second line guy. He'll be a third line center. But from anybody you talk to in Chicago in those days, Jonathan Toews was the man. Jonathan Toews, they had such a great core there. You know, we forget about Dustin Byfuglien, how important he was.
Yeah.
And Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith and Nick Leddy and Jonathan Toews. But with Jonathan Toews, I know everybody calls him Captain Serious, but he was serious when he got on the ice. And that part of that seriousness helped him now get back to the National Hockey League. When you read the story about what he called his healing journey, he wrote about it a while ago. And when you read about I think it's pronounced Ayurveda.
Ayurveda, yep.
Yeah, which translates to knowledge of life and how the body is one. It's an ecosystem that takes in everything from the energy to the food to the thoughts to your feelings, everything, the information you take in, it affects your body somehow. And I went over there for 5 weeks after being in a situation where he thought, I'm never going to get healthy again. I'm always going to feel like this. And I like the fact that he thought outside the box. I like the fact that he sought some more information that just wasn't North American or just traditional medicine. A way to heal his body, as he calls it. And I think he grew quite a bit. I think you saw, even when you listen to him today, you listen to him and you go, yeah, okay, I can see that he's a little bit more open. He's a little bit more mature, but he was always kind of over mature when he was young.
Yeah.
And he seems to be in a very humble and grateful place right now in his life. He's got a chance to get back. So I think you're going to see a really terrific version of Jonathan Toews. Maybe on the ice, not as great, because, my goodness, one of the best players in the world for those years. but you're going to see a guy that is going to give you everything he's got and try to show the way, because he's always been a guy that's, you know, I'll show you how to do it. I'm not going to tell you how to do it.
You know what? I love the fact that you did a little bit of research into what he's gone through, because I've been a little bit annoyed's a strong word, but a little bit sort of taken aback by how dismissive everybody has been about what he's gone through, because everyone's like, oh, he went on a healing journey. But what he did and what he put himself through to get right, and again, we don't need to get into all the details about it right now, but it is significant, and it is more than people think of what it is. I know a little bit about it. I am not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it was not like him sitting by a river for 2 weeks cross-legged, you know, humming.
No.
There's so much involved in this, and it is wildly intriguing to me that I think the stigma of that type of approach to your mental health and your physical health is going to be opened up with guys like Jonathan Toews being honest and people doing a little bit more research into what he did, because he was going to doctors, Drew, and they couldn't tell him what the heck was wrong with him.
Exactly. He went to, can you imagine like the access he would have to doctors?
Yes, and millionaire.
Exactly. And he goes doctor after doctor after doctor and different modalities. And he's trying to figure out, will I ever get better? And he said in his writings that, listen, there was times where I thought, this is it. I'm not going to be. But really what Ayurveda has taught him, and there's another word that he used, Panchakarma, I think it was called.
Yes.
It basically is a way to simplify your life. Understand that whatever you take in not just in food or in nutrition, in everything that you take in, information, media, mm-hmm. pressure, all that affects your body. And what he found out was a way to simplify his life, to create an era, what he called a chance for stillness. Because, God, think about our lives. Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, when do we ever just get to sit down and just relax and maybe sit cross-legged by the water?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not a bad thing every once in a while, but maybe just, you know, metaphorically just being able to sit and relax and just breathe. And for him, that helped him get back to being an NHL player. But I read his stuff, I listened to him, and I thought, like you, man, that was a courageous move by him to look elsewhere and go, okay, you guys have done what you can for me, but we're still not working. So what can I do to help myself? And I love that about any individual, because you control you. And so gives a damn what people are thinking when you're trying to get healthy. Both, and as you mentioned, and I think there's a really important point, how the mental affects the physical. Because that, without a doubt, gets overlooked a lot of times, but the mental matters, and the mental affects the physical.
And you and I are very much simpatico on these boxes we carry around in our hands are slowly killing us all.
Yep, without a doubt. You know, one of the reasons that you got to find a balance somewhere.
Yeah,
and the world sometimes kicks the crap out of you, but you've got to find your balance. Where you know, be it with. If you go exercise, be it with you, listen to music, go to movies or whatever it might be, you've got to find some balance so that you can be mentally right before you be physically right.
Yeah. Walk the dog, right?
Like, exactly. Get a dog, rescue dogs. So do, you know, pet the cat. I mean, those, you know, well, the cat might screw you up a little bit, but that's okay.
that's fair. Again, another simpatico thing, you and I, cats and dogs. Okay. I want to have a quick conversation about your thoughts on San Jose and what they've done over the free agency, Drew. But first, there is a rumor, and I know they're buddies, but we don't know, you know, to what extent. There's a rumor that Macklin Celebrini and Connor Bedard are skating together right now.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. They've skated together for
quite a few
summers.
Years.
Quite a few years. Yeah.
So my question is, who do you think is benefiting more from that right now?
Well, that's a great question. Tyler Toffoli just was interviewed, and Tyler, you know, is the big brother to Macklin, and he went to he went and stayed with the Celebrinis, and they trained with him, and they went up the Grouse Grind, which is like a mile and a half, was straight up, and he talked about how, my God, this kid is ridiculous, he's killing me. But I think when you look at it, Macklin is the type of individual. I don't know Connor Bedard at all, besides talking to him when Chicago comes to town. But what I find from both individuals, talking to both of them, is their constant quest for knowledge, their constant quest to get better. I compared Macklin Celebrini the first time the Oilers played. I do a little thing on during the pregame called Remember Rush, and I just pick a couple players or one player from each team. I picked out Connor and Macklin. And what I said about Macklin is what I saw in Connor, not as far as their overall ability on the ice, although Macklin's a hell of a player, but how both guys always seek to get better, or on the ice early, or on the ice late, always trying to get better, doing something physically different. Connor McDavid was the only kid I saw at 18 years old when we get onto a road trip and we get into a hotel. Most guys take off and go for dinner, right? Connor would go downstairs and go for a 30-minute run. And yeah. Macklin does the same thing. So when I look at Bedard and I look at Macklin, they're both in that search to not just be good, not just be the best on their team, but to be the best player in the world. And I think that's they're driven, they're hungry, and that's what I like about both of them.
San Jose was, I'd say, sort of middle of the pack activity-wise for the number of moves that they made. And, you know, I'm not seeing anything just based on what's in front of me that's crazy or earth-shattering. But you know what? At least they're trying to make the team better from you know, outside looking in.
Yeah, Mike Greer's, I think, done a hell of a job. Mike is been very patient. He's been very analytical, and he had a plan coming in. Think about him, Locker, when he was the only guy that when he came in for the interviews to tell the bosses, hey, you got nothing in your pipeline. You're one of the worst teams as far as development goes. Hmm. And now I think we're on the top five teams as far as development goes. When you look what they've got, they're drafting well. They did a nice job at the draft, and Misa's going to get a chance to make the team.
I like that player.
They pick up other guys, but they started with what in goal, they're happy. Okay, they got Nedeljkovic, they got Yaroslav Askarov. They go and get Klingberg, they get Orlov, and they get Letty. And that's going to help some veteran guys and be in the situation. We're going to help the younger defense.
Yeah.
And then you've got some other veterans you've added up front. But they had to spend some money because they were $20 million below the floor. They spent the money. They're over that now. Mike's taking his time and being patient. And thank goodness he has got an owner that understands what he's trying to do, because it's tough sometimes in San Jose. Some nights are pretty sparse. In the old days, it used to be just packed to the rafters. So I think Mike did a good job. But I think, you know, Locker, when we look at the free agency thing that day and that were in the next 2 days, it gets to the point where everybody jumps. It's such an emotional jump for fans and for media to go, oh, that, look what they did. We're done. We're not going to, you know.
Yeah.
A general manager's job is never done, not until the trade deadline, and then he can sit back and relax a little bit. But it's a great day because it's fun, and it's fun for guys like us. But overall, it is a day that creates overreaction throughout the hockey world.
Well, and we tend to put a little bit more stake in it than I think the hockey world does, right? The media and the fans. I mean, I heard an excellent point on Jeff Merrick's podcast. He was saying, remember last year at the end of free agency, everyone was giving Nashville the cup, right? Then look at what happened. So I think you're right to suggest that, you know, just because, you know, this move happened or that move didn't happen, it's not the be-all, end-all for the team's success in the upcoming season.
Yep, 100%. And we tend to overreact on those things, but that's the fun of it, I think, too.
Awesome. Listen, I appreciate your time, and I know that this is summer and you didn't have to do this, but it meant a lot to us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Locker. Good talking to you.
All right. Take care, my friend. This is Drew Remenda dropping the gloves on the Green Zone. We're still taking your thoughts on the fan line, 877-332-8255, on what you want to hear and your favorite summer blockbuster. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. It's the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. I am Locker. Jamie's back next week. We're finding out that there are numerous drive-ins around the province of Saskatchewan. You can add Pilot Butte to the list, as well as Kyle on top of Watrous, Carlisle, and Wolseley. And apparently the Twilight drive-in movie theater in Wolseley is showing F1 this weekend. I'm going on a tour of Saskatchewan drive-ins, I'm telling you right now. Diner of FUBAR fame and the movie Diner 89 is standing by. We'll figure out what the heck the Pilsner Pledge is. He's a massive Oilers fan. Just prepare yourself. It's Diener, all right? That's next. 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am Locker. Jamie's back next week. That was a request from Greg from Lumsden, whose favorite summer blockbuster movie, Top Gun. During COVID, we would do Friday night movie nights. I think a lot of people were doing that. And the kids would pick, then the wife would pick, and then I would pick. And so we got turns picking a movie. And I thought, I'm going to play the girls one of my favorite summer movies, my favorite 80 movies of all time. They hadn't seen Top Gun, so we sat down, we watched the original Top Gun. I've told this story before, but anyway. And they were giggling at it. They thought it was ridiculous. I was so annoyed because it was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. But they thought it was so stupid. Anyway, after watching it back, like I hadn't watched it for years. After watching it back, it was a little bit corny at times, but that Maverick, that was I loved that movie. That was such a good one. There is a conversation happening right now that they're actually going to do another Top Gun, which I don't hate the idea. I don't know where that story goes, but we'll let somebody else figure that out. Again, we're taking your requests here on the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. If you can tie it into your favorite summer blockbuster like Greg did there, then do that as well. Right now, Diener of FUBAR fame joining the Green Zone. The new movie, Diener 89, came out last year, and after a successful run in theaters, is now available on Crave. It's worth a watch. Diener is also a massive Oilers fan. I was legit impressed with this movie, my friend. This is a prequel, and I'm curious. The movie goes back to 1989. Who's the actor that got to play you, the high school version of you? Whoever it is, did an amazing job.
Well, yeah, just on a technical note, it's not a FUBAR movie. It's not a prequel. It's the origin story of the Diener, just to make that clear. I know, but off the top. But yeah, no, like, look, we were making a movie. We're like, oh yeah, now we got to find like a tiny little baby Diener, like a teenage Diener. And, you know, we started to go through it, and I'm just like, I'm telling all these teenagers, I'm like, no, you got to like swear more and be more like aggressive towards your 10 speed and stuff. And I was coming up against a lot of roadblocks. I'm like, no, the jeans, they have to be painted on, you know, like, so eventually I was just like, all right, you know what? I'll just lose 55 pounds. And,
put some and braces on and away you go.
Yeah, I got actual braces. I lost 55 pounds and, you know, I trained pretty hard, basically just like, not listening to anybody, pretending that they're my parents for about a year. No, it was tough.
All right, fondest memory from shooting the movie, which, by the way, is really good. If I haven't said it, I was very pleasantly surprised when I watched it.
Well, I think, you know, Diener 89 is getting tons of good reviews, and yeah, people are checking out. You can watch it on Crave now, so it's pretty much available to everybody. But yeah, like look. We're doing a scene in the car, me and my dad, who's played by Will Sasso, I think he's like 6 months older than me, which is hilarious. So he can technically be my dad, I guess. But, he's like obviously a foot and a half taller than me, so that helps. But so anyway, we're doing improvisation and we're like making each other laugh and stuff. And then, okay, what cameras are rolling, where we're rolling down the road. And then he lets out the most ripper of a fart. And I'm howling, like I'm laughing, I can't keep it together. But then it hits me like the wave. And I don't know if it's just because he's a bigger guy or because he doesn't drink. But like whatever it was like getting hit in the face with like a garbage bag filled with like 6-month-old lobster parts. It was just like, I almost, like, you know, I opened the door. I was ready to roll stuntman style out of the car. Like, that's what it was like. That's how bad it was. And I was like, man, what'd you eat? He was like, I don't know. I had 2 bananas and an egg salad sandwich. So yeah, that was like, it's the funny thing too is like Will was making me laugh because he's got these great impressions. He does like all these wrestlers and stuff.
He was good. He was good in the movie.
Amazing. He's amazing, and he's super famous in the U.S. now too. But yeah, the fun, like, so making me laugh for real the whole time. But then the actual funniest thing, of course, was like a near death experience when I almost asphyxiated in the car.
I thought it was that kind of cool that you put your real dad in the movie as well, so he gets a cameo. It's a quick glimpse of him, but I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. George Spence is in the movie. That's pretty deadly, especially for like all those Métis people out there in Saskatchewan. You know, he's from Prince Albert, good old PA.
Yeah.
So he's representing the province of Saskatchewan and all, you know, sort of like the Red River Valley Métis and all that stuff. So yeah, no, it was awesome to have him in the movie. He was hilarious too. Gave him a sweet mullet and everyone's like, your dad's so cool. All he wanted to do was talk to him. Like, no one wants to talk to me.
Now listen, let's explain the Pilsner pledge, Diener. You were doing this through the course of the playoffs on this latest run for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, we hit a little divot there in the Los Angeles series. You know, lost the first 2 games to the little Pilsner pledge. So thought I had to do something, so I pulled out the Pilsner, and then it happened again with at the very end there in the finals. And so basically, what it was is that you bury a Pilsner, you need a staff that's like been bitten off by the sacred beaver, Canadian beaver, emblem of our country. So you dig a little hole, you put the Pilsner can in there, and then you cover it up. And then you spin the javelin thing around, the little stick, and then you jab it, you throw it into the ground real hard, make it stand up. Then you do a high kick, and then you scream like at the top of your lungs. Like, and that gathers the attention of the Pilsner gods, and then the stick sort of shows them where the Pilsner is, and then they can go find it, have a Pilsner. And then while they're talking about fixing the games for that night, they're like, well, you know, we did get a couple of beers from Diener, let's go for the Oilers. And it worked a couple times. But then it didn't work no more, so I had to work up to a 6-pack, and then I ran out of money, and so I kind of take the blame for this one.
So, thoughts on the Oilers' free agency moves so far, Diener?
All right, well, nobody did anything stupid, like, in the Oilers organization. So I got to give them, like, an 8 out of 10, because what were they supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, they're supposed to spend $10 million on Tanner Janot, you know, like, good for you, like, whatever, that guy, I love that guy, good for him, he's a millionaire, but, like, you know, there wasn't much out there. There was, like, one goalie, Gibson, but he's, like, injury-prone. I'm glad they didn't get him, so they're gonna have to figure something out. It's gonna have to be, you know, like, general manager magic to not only to get, like, the players that they need to win a cup, but to convince McDavid that this is the place to be. It's pretty complicated. And you know what, frankly, what really bothers me, I'm a bit of a rant here, but like, you see guys going back to Florida, they're giving them like 20-30% discounts. And it just, you know what, it bothers me, not because like the hometown discount and all that, but it's like, look guys, you guys are Canadians. We're in a world where we ain't won the Stanley Cup in this country in like 30 years. And what are all the Canadians doing? They're going to Tampa. They're going to Dallas. They're going to Florida, South Florida, the most gator, like, flip-flop wearing, you know, like, these guys, they got this redneck, like, these are not anything close to Canadians. Oh, great, you can drive a golf cart to work. Let me tell you this, okay? You can drive a golf cart to the golf course for the rest of your living life with your millions of dollars that you can get playing for Calgary, playing for Vancouver, playing for Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, especially Edmonton, who's got the 2 best players in the NHL right now. Let's do it. Guys, focus, okay? You Canadians, spend 2-3 years in a Canadian city during your hockey career, and when you're retired, you can live wherever you want, all right? You can live on the moon. You can live in southern Florida. I don't care. But show a little bit of pride, okay? And stop going and signing these contracts for these flip-flop hockey teams and go where counts, okay? Where you got to wear skates to get to the rink, and then when you're at the rink, okay? That's Canadian pride, and that's my word on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, well put, Diener. Thank you for that. Thoughts on Florida?
These are millionaires. if I felt sorry for these guys, because like, oh yeah, you really had to spend your winter in Winnipeg, poor you. You're a millionaire, man. You can live wherever you want when you retire, which is in like 3 years, by the way. So toughen up, you know, toughen up like Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr did it. Toughen up, live in a Canadian market, and then we'll talk.
So how do you feel about how the Florida Panthers celebrated after this second devastating Stanley Cup Finals?
I don't know, and I don't care. They're an embarrassment. Like, look, there are a bunch of Canadians on that team. That's why they won the Cup. That's fine. I love all Canadians, no matter what your choices in life. Though I am looking down at you if you don't sign in a Canadian city. Not happy with you there. But Canadians are fine. It's just the city of Florida. The sort of the state of Florida is just such a joke. It's like, it's a shame. I can't handle it. I just turn that all that off. I'm like, they're drinking like 3% Schlitz beers. They're spilling champagne all over themselves. They're, you know, they're probably, you know, like eating like, I don't even want to get into it because I'm going to get banned from the radio. So yeah, I'll just leave it there. I'm not impressed.
Now, let's touch on a couple of more Edmonton Oiler-themed questions here. Are you going to be concerned if Edmonton doesn't do something to improve the goaltending situation before the start of next season? Or do you think the Skinner-Pickard combination can get us back to another Stanley Cup final next year?
Skinner and Pickard can get you to the part of the season where there are going to be goalies that are going to shake loose. That is what Bowman is counting on, and that is what I'm counting on. Do I feel that Skinner can get you a cup? After this year, I don't. I just don't. I mean, you know, he just was the better goalie in two of the four series. What does that tell you? You know, he didn't have to win one of them, and the third one, the other one, he didn't win. So, like, what are you going to do? You need another goalie. So, yeah, I'll be disappointed. I think they've got the tandem to get them there. You know what I mean? Like,
to get to the playoffs.
But, you know, so they get to the deadline. There's going to be teams like, who knows, Ottawa, the Rangers, Chicago, San Jose, like all these teams that think they maybe have a shot at the playoffs. But then come, you know, deadline time, well, you know what? Actually, let's get a couple of second-round picks in a couple of years for this goalie. That's, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that's what they're gonna bank on, and it's a dangerous road. But I'm glad they didn't get Gibson. So what are we going to do, right?
Diener, here's the big one. Does McDavid stay in Edmonton?
100%. He's a good Canadian kid. He loves Edmonton. I think it's just a matter of the management team showing them that they're for real.
Diener, from Diener 89, now on Crave. Go watch it. Also, last question. What's your favorite, summer blockbuster?
Oh, without question. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Man, back in the day when movies were simple, it was good versus evil. It's like, oh, there's a bunch of Nazis. Like, you know, and then the guy with the hat is a good guy. Like, all that stuff, so deadly and so badass. So, yeah. And then of course, like, one of the most iconic epic scenes in a movie ever, when he opens up the Ark and the dude's face melts and his glasses are just, like, sliding down his face, is absolutely deadly. Unbeatable. It stands the test of time. You can watch it three times in a row. And just the name, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Bring back those movies that have like 50 words in the title.
There we go. What's your favorite summer blockbuster? You can text the show 877-332-8255. That is the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. Our Green Zone game of the night up next. And yes, it is Friday Night Football, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie is back next week. I've been flying solo this week. We're doing a Friday fun topic where we're getting you to send us your favorite summer blockbuster and if we can tie a song into it. And that's what we did there for Steve. He wanted that from Beverly Hills Cop, and Glenn Frey wrote that from the Eagles. We lost Glenn Frey a couple years ago, which was sad. Glenn was in Cameo in Miami Vice, and I don't know if this is something that you'd be interested in watching. I have a certain vintage where I remember that show, and I've started rewatching it. They've got all of the Miami Vice shows up on prime. And I don't know why. I can't stop watching them. I for the last couple of weeks, I'll throw it on and I'll sit down and I'll watch an episode or two. And they are so bad, they're good, if that makes any sense at all. All right, your game of the night, week five, Friday nighter, Hamilton, Toronto. Both teams only have one win this season. Chad Kelly still not playing, so it's Arbuckle who will be taking the ball. Bo Levi Mitchell, by the way, the fastest quarterback in CFL history to get 100 wins is in the lineup for the Ticats tonight. Bit of a grudge match there. Those two teams do not like each other. The East doesn't look good at all this year. Again, Hamilton and Toronto, though, they're sort of on one of those similar paths right now, so it could end up being an interesting matchup. You got your Saturday nighter, BC and Montreal. Nathan Rourke is back for the Lions, and then the Sunday nighter is Ottawa in Edmonton taking on the Elks. Both those teams are hurting right now, desperate for a win. That might end up being, Dave Naylor suggested this yesterday when we were chatting. He said, don't go to sleep on that game. It might end up being a bit of a decent game. CFL can do that to you when two teams that really need a win, it could end up being a special game. And then, of course, we got the Riders back in action next Friday night. It's a home game. The Stamps are in town, making it interesting with a win last night. Up next on the Green Zone, we have got J.C. Abbott from Three Down Nation. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's matchup between Toronto and Hamilton. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.